This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It is Friday night, and I'm so excited because it is the best part of summer, Audrey. The Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix has kicked off tonight, and we have a full almost week and a half, 2 weeks a really great car action here in Pittsburgh.
A lot of noise.
And people are like, why are you talking about the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix on Tech Vibe Radio? Because A, it's a Pittsburgh tradition. B, lots of techies are in the cars. And there's lots of Pittsburgh technology companies that do stuff around automotive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we're dedicating the show tonight because we think it's a great cause, a great event, and a great thing for Pittsburgh.
And so we're hanging out with Ted Swaler, the actual voice.
Yes.
Of PVGP for more than three decades. Is that true?
Yeah, we started in 1983. This is our 36th year, and it'll be my 36th year with the PVGP.
Every single year you've shown up.
Actually, I go back farther than the PVGP.
Okay, how's that?
I was involved in some pre-planning sessions in, it would have been like January and February of 1983, and our first event was Labor Day.
So that's when the Tech Council was formed.
Is that right? Exactly.
We're both celebrating 36 years then.
Well, 35, headed into 36.
Heading into 36.
Yeah.
See, two great Pittsburgh things coming together. So the Grand Prix raises money for autism, which I think is fantastic.
Well, the Autism Society in Pittsburgh, and also the Allegheny Valley School, which is a wonderful kind of groundbreaking, trend-setting institution with a number of campuses in western Pennsylvania. Actually, campuses across the state, but our funds go to the western Pennsylvania branch that serve populations with developmental disabilities and so on.
So how did that start? What made this?
It started from the very beginning with Myron Cope.
Wow.
And
Yoy.
And the, right. And,
Double Yoy.
And the gunner. Myron had an autistic child. And when the initial idea was being kicked around by some car nuts in Pittsburgh to do something like this, we thought, you know, the only way this is going to work is if there's some civic, you know, component to it.
Exactly.
And so Myron was recruited, and Bob Prince, the gunner, the former voice of the Pirates, and they both took it to Mayor Caligiuri, and got Mayor Caligiuri to sign on, and the rest is essentially history. But we've provided more than $5 million, $5.1 million actually so far to those two charities over the course of the event.
That's
for an
fantastic
event that is free to the public.
And it's free to the public. Yeah. What I love about the event is it's a combination. It's a car show. It is racing. It's just spectating. It's food. It's a little bit of everything kind of going on, and it's all in Schenley Park. And also in Pitt Race as it is tonight. But I've always thought that the Schenley Park is being the best place to see the cars thundering through Serpentine Road.
It's iconic,
it's,
I think.
Love it, man. Love it.
And I think that, you know, one of the appeals of the Schenley Park weekend is that there is no other race venue in the country like it.
There isn't?
No.
That's such an asset for Pittsburgh. I'm assuming you're drawing people from around the world to come to Pittsburgh to race the cars and to spectate.
Well, we do get some international visitors. We get a number of Canadians who come down. We've actually had people who've brought cars over from England to race. And
Mexico. I've met people from Mexico.
But it is partly because it's such a unique venue. I mean, it's got to be the most challenging racetrack that there is with stone. You know, you're talking about the serpentine stone walls and trees and curbs.
It's great.
And the crown of the road.
There's
some descending
curves with very tight hairpins, and you see two old Jags just gunning for it. And you're like, oh my, who's going to get scraped? And they make
Have
it
you
out.
Expanded the path this year? The race path, or it's the same?
The course?
Yeah.
No, it's always the same.
It's the same
set of roads around Schenley Park, about 2.3 miles or something like that.
Right.
And people actually wear very interesting outfits when they race, too.
Well, they're required. You know, we have old cars racing,
right.
But there are some things that are absolutely modern and up to date.
The helmets and
one of those
fire
is,
gear
right, the requirement
and all that kind of
for
stuff, right.
What they wear on their heads and on their bodies, roll bars and things like that in the cars to make
it. It's such a cool format to see all of this up close. I mean, literally, like the cars are so loud, you almost have to step back, and you can almost see the driver's faces through the helmets as they're coming around the corners, and you're just like, whoa, are they going to make it?
There's that, and you know, great photographs can be taken at Schenley Park that can imitate photographs that might have been taken in early American road racing, back in the late 1940s and 1950s, when races were held on circuits like this before they actually built road race courses.
Exactly.
So this is really the only circuit in this nation, and one of the few, maybe the only one in the world, that races at speed on a course like that.
It's almost like a page out of Europe. Now, Audrey's very excited because this year's mark is BMW.
Yeah,
it's going to be a really big weekend because I know BMW's got quite the following.
Right.
Tell us about BMW.
Yeah, the BMW CCA, which is the BMW Car Club of America, which you should belong to. It's the biggest car club in the world, BMW CCA. Every year they have a big national rally. And this year they're holding it this week in Pittsburgh. So in addition to a big bunch of BMW cars that are always on a display on German Hill and a big bunch of BMW racers, we got like 500 to 750 BMW owners who've come from all
rabid
over the country.
Rabid fans coming on Pittsburgh.
Right, for the so-called O-Fest,
exactly.
The Oktoberfest.
Audrey, we need to spiff up the 4 Series for you, get it extra shiny, and put it on the yard this year.
Yeah, man.
Just saying.
We're expecting many, many. The iconic model that's on our poster is 2002, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year.
It is 50 years from 2002.
It was introduced the summer of 68. Is that right? Yeah,
yes.
Summer of 68.
Exactly.
Yep.
It's great. How much fun do you have? Could you believe that you've been doing this for this long?
Oh, it's fabulous. It is, I would say for many years, and it's still true, it's my favorite thing of the year.
Is it?
It's now become the biggest summer event in Pittsburgh. You know, it used to be the Regatta. And
it's the Grand Prix now, for sure.
And it's got an international reputation, and it's just a good time.
It is a good time.
And you were talking about getting up close, watching the cars come
right.
by.
I could smell the fumes.
But you can also go up, and I don't know whether you wandered around in the paddock, but you can walk up.
You can go in the paddock and watch them.
Yeah, wrench on the cars, talk to the drivers.
Yeah, that's what I do. That's what I do. I talk to everyone.
Yeah. You're like, what are you doing over there? Why are you fixing
that? I love
it.
And I love the way all the cars are organized. So you have, like, the VW area, you have the Porsche area. I love that. And you get to, like, talk to the characters that are their cars.
If you go to pvgp.org, you can get a list of all the action happening over the coming week. And really, next weekend is when it really comes together at Schenley Park, which we're really excited for. I know Audrey's going to be there. I'm always there every year. I take a car and put it on the hill somewhere, depending upon which mark I decide to bring. This year will be the Porsche mark.
Oh, really?
Okay. Oh, really?
Cayman. The Cayman's coming out. I'm very excited about it. It'll be its debut for me, which I'm kind of getting a little geeked out over. So I really want everyone to show up and have a good time.
It seems like Porsche has some celebration going on at Schenley Park as well. And I know they're bringing in two really special former Porsche factory race cars.
Yes.
One's a 911 GT3 RS that raced Le Mans, I think.
Exactly. We actually won Le Mans, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's right. And then there's a 962, I think, the big sports racer, the kind of car that would have won at Le Mans.
That's why I'm getting ready to geek out and nerd out. So much fun. Hey, we're taking a break. We're coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio. We have Covestro stopping by to talk about what they do automotive-wise. We also have HV3D stopping by. They digitally print car parts. And we have car nerds Mike Broker and Sam Lana stopping by as well, too, to talk about the Grand Prix. Great stuff. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
From the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. And once again, go to pvgp.org as well, too, to learn all about the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix. Welcome back, everybody. I am so pumped to be dedicating our Tech Vibe show tonight to the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix. It's like the highlight of summer here in Pittsburgh. And Audrey, you get a whiff of it.
I do, right in my backyard.
You get the fumes coming right into your backyard.
Right in my backyard.
Yeah. Audrey's right along the course.
I love the noise. My dog goes nuts. I love everyone parking everywhere, violating all the rules.
Absolutely.
And I love seeing all the cars.
Absolutely. We have two self-professed car geeks with us tonight.
Really?
Audrey. Yeah. We have Mike Broker, who's no stranger to Tech Vibe Radio.
No.
He's with Epiphany. He also has a really cool history as an automotive engineer. He tells me great stories about working at GM and stuff like that back in the day.
That was a long time ago, just after I graduated from the University of Pittsburgh at the young age of 21. Yes, long time ago.
And we have Sam here with us. Sam, you're introduced to us through Mike.
That's correct.
And you have a company called Default Solutions.
Yes, I do.
And you are an avid car guy as well.
Longtime Porsche fan.
Yes.
And a fan of the Pittsburgh Vantage Grand Prix.
That's why I'm like, you
and
have to be
Default
on the show.
Default Solutions does what?
Yeah, what does your company do?
We provide consulting engineering services for the insurance industry around construction.
Yeah. Excellent.
So what
well,
your,
welcome.
Yeah. So what is
Thank
your favorite
you.
Thing about the Grand Prix, Sam?
You know, it's probably the core reason why I have been a volunteer for 15 years is it's such a great event for its, you know, the kids, the autism and things of that nature. It's really what energized me to do it. And the best part of it is I get to join in and do things that I like,
yeah,
cars. And you're helping kids.
Raising money for great causes, helping children.
And it's a great thing for Pittsburgh.
And how long have you been hanging out with the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix?
2003 was my first year.
Excellent.
So I'm just a newbie in comparison to most of the volunteers.
36 years. Yes. You know, some of these people have participated.
And Sam told me that he has not seen, you've got the car show, of course, up on the golf course.
Absolutely.
And for these 15 years, he has made the sacrifice. He has not seen that car show because he's doing his thing.
He's doing his thing.
Wait, you're busy? Yeah.
Right.
And you haven't even shown up?
That's right. So the part of the volunteer group that I'm part of is the race side. So we're working with the race cars. We're getting the cars on the track and off the track safely. And so that means you don't get to see all the fun things. But
once safety, in a while, safety is such a key part
you get
of this
to hear
event.
It.
Yeah,
you get
well,
to hear
once
it.
In a while you get run over or put the cars on the grid or whatever.
Right.
Put out a fire here
but
and there.
But it's like amazing to me just to see. I remember when I moved to Pittsburgh and all of a sudden I heard this noise. And I went, I got to check this out. And all the roads were closed off and all these crazy cars were around and people in interesting garb in the dead of summer.
Absolutely.
Well, and you have people coming from literally all over the world.
All over the world.
All over the world. And so it's just another great opportunity to showcase what Pittsburgh really is.
I know, it really is.
I'm proud to say I was at the very first Vintage Grand Prix. So I was at Pitt in 1982. I lived on Dawson Street in South
Oh, I know exactly where that is.
And I literally walked, you know, three doors down to the boulevard, hang the left, go over the bridge,
right,
and sat down with my now wife and a friend and his wife and just watched that for the first time. Didn't even know what we were seeing. It was just fascinating to me. It's like, wow, look at all these old great cars, you know, just running around. These guys must be nuts that they would take these expensive cars and just fly them around Shenley Park.
I know.
And they ring
crazy?
Them out, too. I mean, there is no letting back.
And they are rare, and they are serious.
Yes, they are.
They
yes.
are serious. So all the proceeds go to the Autism Society in
That's
Pittsburgh.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, all these years. So fantastic cost.
Millions of dollars have been.
Yeah, right? Millions of dollars.
Right. Absolutely. So, Mike, back in the day, you were an aspiring automotive engineer. You said you worked for GM for a while. What kind of technologies were you developing for cars back in the day?
Well, here's a pop quiz for you. What was the first production vehicle that had a reconfigurable display? So what I mean, right now, all the cars that are produced today have a reconfigurable display. You've got a radio, you've got an HVAC page, etc. What was the first vehicle?
The Ford Taurus.
It was a 1986 Buick Riviera.
The Riviera.
The Riviera.
The Riviera, right. And it was...
And so it was configurable. What was going on?
So it was a CRT display. Okay, like in the old days, if you know, an old CRT screen, that's exactly what it was. It was about 4 by 5 inches in the car, and it was reconfigurable. And that was one of the pieces of software that we worked on way, way, way ahead of its time. in this. They were the GM30s, so the Buick Rivieras, Eldorados,
okay.
Sevilles, and Oldsmobile Tornados.
They all share the same platform, right?
All share the same platform, same assembly line. And they had six computers that all talked on a serial data link. 8192 baud. 8,000 bits per second.
See, now you're nerding out. I love it.
So what happened? How did you get out of that industry?
Well, so that was in Santa Barbara, California. So I basically went to GM and worked at the Proving Grounds up in Milford, Michigan. Fantastic job for a young engineer, because GM buys one of every car every year, one of every car made. And that's where they put them, up at the Proving Grounds. And you get certified on the tracks. And then you get to be real good friends with the field fleet driver and say, hey, Marty, I need to take the Ferrari out for instrumentation display evaluation.
Yes, and must make sure it does 150 miles an hour, right? Yes, yes, yes. So what's the fastest you've ever driven, Mike?
It was a 1984 Corvette. And remember, there was no 83 Corvette. It was the new body
style. They skipped a year to get the new one up.
And
C4 started.
Probably get in trouble for this, but it was on the circle track at the Proving Grounds, and it was 140.
Nice.
140?
140.
So yeah. Sam, how fast
were you wearing a helmet?
Driven?
No.
No. No helmet.
No helmet.
No helmet.
Nothing. So, Sam, how fast have you driven? What's your...
My top speed that I know of is about 135 miles an hour, but wow. I believe I was driving faster than that. I was doing driver training with Porsche in Leipzig, Germany.
Now, rumor has it you actually had the gentleman who was the engineer of the Cayman, which is my favorite car in the world, was your instructor at the time.
That's correct. And he taught me a lot about what that car really could do.
Exactly. It's scary fast and scary cool. Simple as that. Oh, my goodness. I love it. I love it. I love it. So we got a couple minutes left. Yeah. What are you most looking forward to at the Grand Prix this year, Mike?
Well, I guess this year they have their big BMW.
The mark of the year. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And and having been a former owner of a 740 IL that I loved every day.
Oh, I love that car.
Yep.
What year?
It was 1996, and it one rainy day, I went too deep into some water and got hydrolocked.
No way!
Yep. 3 seconds, engine was done. And that was the end
that
of that.
That was it for the 740.
Yep.
Really?
So
fragile.
So, Mike, this year at the Grand Prix, you have to relieve Sam for 1 hour.
Okay.
So he can go and check out the car show.
Yes,
Sam, you got to see the car show there. It's my
rumor
favorite
has
thing.
It's pretty nice.
It's pretty awesome, and I'm looking forward to being a part of it myself. So I just think it's so cool. You guys can hang out with us today and talk about your passion for cars, your passion for technology, and how that all kind of comes together. Yeah. So everyone, I really encourage you to go to pvgp.org, look at the whole schedule of events coming up this week. It all culminates in Audrey's backyard in Squirrel Hill.
Yep. Don't knock on my door.
Don't knock on her door, because she'll be out. You know, with the dog watching cars go around the track, and I'll be there as well too.
My dog freaks out.
It's such a fun weekend. I can't wait. I'm so pumped up for it. It's like July, the best month in Pittsburgh, the Grand Prix. So, you know, guys, thanks for stopping by tonight. We're taking a quick break. We're coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio. I swear, this is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
From the Pittsburgh Technology Council. We, too, are 35 years old, just like the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix. The same. We go back to 1983.
Yes, we are 35 years old.
I love it, man. Anyhow, we'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Tech Vibe Radio. Audrey, it's the best time of the year. The Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix is in full swing. It just started tonight.
Just revving up.
Exactly.
I can hear it from my backyard.
You can.
Revving up.
Every year. You're right on the
side. Yeah, I'm right there at People Park, right in front of my house. There's lots of activity, and it is lots of noise and lots of people from around the world.
You can smell the sweet fumes coming from the race.
It's just the cars. I love cars, so it's just sort of a crazy.
Absolutely.
It's a crazy couple of days in Pittsburgh.
And you know me, I couldn't be any happier because I'm a complete car nerd.
You and I were there. We actually did a little cut the last time we were there. Remember that?
Exactly. Remember
we were riding in your Beetle.
In my old Beetle. Barely got you home. I could never trust that car to go more than 100 yards.
I know.
As simple as that. But I'm having so much fun tonight because we get to put an eye on Pittsburgh tech companies that are doing things in the automotive realm.
I know.
And Covestro, I mean, they've been around forever doing great stuff. And we have someone here to talk about all the things that they've been doing and will be doing in the future as well. Because as we know, cars aren't going anywhere. In fact, the technology gets crazier and crazier. They're becoming more autonomous, as we know. And Covestro is playing a huge role in that. So we have Paige here with us today. Paige, what do you do at Covestro?
Yeah, hi.
Hi,
both of you guys. So I'm a market analyst for Covestro in our coatings, adhesive, and specialties group. I mainly focus on the future of automotive and the future of mobility. So it's pretty interesting because as a raw material supplier who sells coatings, plastic, and foam, a lot of people ask, why on earth are we looking at the future of mobility?
Right.
But we've been supplying the automotive industry for over 50 years. And just as in our polycarbonate group, we once supplied material for CDs, we have to make sure that we're innovating our material for those new changes that we're seeing.
So are there anything that you can tell us about what kinds of things are on the horizon?
Yeah, well, it's awesome because, of course, with the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix, we're seeing a bunch of different types of cars. And also in Pittsburgh, we have major tech companies that are coming in, building autonomous vehicles built for ride sharing. What we've seen at Covestro is really the materials, you're going to still need your seat, you're going to need a floor, you're going to need windows. It's all then going to be about how high value materials can really enhance that experience that you'll be having when you ride.
What does ridership mean? So does ridership mean cars? Does it mean buses? Does it mean light rail?
I think it's going to be probably different for everyone we talk to. Kind of now with these, or where you see with the airline industry, mm-hmm. you have your budget airlines, you have some more upscale airlines, you have private jets. Mm-hmm. It will all be dependent probably about which option you take for the ride you're looking for.
And so this whole thing about peak performance, what does that mean?
Yeah, so, well, especially in relation to materials, we see performance is going to be huge with the future of mobility. Because right now, I mean, I drive a car to and from work.
What kind of car do you drive?
I have a Hyundai Sonata. It's perfect for what I need. I have a nice lease because I want the technology to be updated in 3 years when it's, you know, having the blind spot detection and all of those autonomous features. But I'm the only one that really ever sits in the car. And there's four other seats that are rarely occupied.
Really?
So, and you would see that with a lot of people's cars.
Right.
But in the future, when cars aren't spending 95% of the time sitting in a parking lot, mm-hmm. and they're getting maybe 100 people in and out of it a day, like, you don't want to be getting into a car with the material that is just completely degraded.
So is that what you foresee? You foresee that my car is soon going to be used all day long by other people?
There's some different scenarios of the future, and that could be one scenario. Mm-hmm. There's a company, Turo, right mm-hmm. now that's using, that's letting people rent out their personal vehicle when they're not using it. So just like Airbnb for your house.
Right. Would we allow that, Jonathan?
On the record, I would never allow anyone in my car. You know how I am. On my car,
I'm
meticulous. So I love the fact that you're making interiors more durable and more pleasant
that's
to be
really
in.
Interesting.
Because I read it in your site, there's an interesting statistic. We spend like, 50 minutes a day on average in the car. So mm-hmm. a 24th of your day, you're in your car, you want it to be a nice experience.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Your coatings and materials make that happen.
Exactly. Well, and you bring up a good point because so many people, especially around this vintage Grand Prix, are thinking, I'm a car guy or I'm a car girl and I want to be like, I could never give up that control. But really what my goal is and what my team's goal is to make sure that you still love that driving and riding experience, even if the car is driving itself. You know, we can still provide those material solutions to enable a comfortable, customizable, infotainment-full ride for when you're riding to work, riding to vacation.
It is such a waste, though. Now that you say that, when you think about how often we use our cars, hardly.
I know.
And the amount of time that it contributes to air pollution for the smallest amount of time that we use, there's got to be some disruption in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so the automotive industry has always been a huge part of, you know, Covestro's focus. We have a lot of sales into the industry for over 50 years, but sustainability is also one of our large focuses. So this area of mobility and shared mobility is really going to help us enhance you know, how we're serving the market for those two different trends.
So how did you luck out getting this gig?
I know, that's the
at
thing.
It's a pretty
cool,
how did you luck out?
It's a pretty cool job.
Yeah, tell us.
Well, I studied electrical engineering at Virginia Tech, and
nice.
Being an electrical engineer at a chemical company is maybe a little different. We have a lot of chemical engineers, but I really felt like Covestro was doing some cool things. Like, what chemical companies necessarily have such a huge push about sustainability? And that's kind of one of those dichotomies
so that
you see.
You.
Mm-hmm.
You get to have a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been at Covestro for?
3 years.
Okay.
Yes, 3 years. And I've gotten to ride in a couple autonomous vehicles too, which is pretty cool. All of my friends, all my other electrical engineering friends are totally jealous about like these cool experiences that I get to have. And I just tell them, hey, I'm looking at materials for the future.
You got to do your job.
Oh, yeah. I know,
it's as
right?
As simple as that. You got to do your job.
So, you know, it is funny because people are looking to their suppliers for innovation. And very often that story doesn't get told.
Yes.
So talk about what your relationships are with your suppliers and understanding what they're wrestling with, other than me saying scrape a nickel off of that cost.
Well, so it's pretty interesting right now because no one really knows where the future's headed. I know you had asked the question, Audrey, about...
Because I know where the future's headed.
Well, you asked the question about, right. like... You know, what are the futures of materials going
right.
to be? And I think the automotive OEMs, the people that are making the cars, the people that supply everything to seats or from seats to headlamps, they're all asking themselves the question too.
Right.
The unique thing that we've been able to do as Covestro is we've spent so much work identifying where we think the future will be
mm-hmm.
that when we go into customers, we kind of show them our vision of the future, and we've gotten a lot of great feedback. A lot of people say, thank you for not asking us what the spec of a seat in 2025 is going to be, because we don't know yet.
That's so interesting. And what I think I've learned about Covestro over the years is your materials are allowing really unique designs. So your materials can bend and go into shapes that you normally couldn't do. That's why we're seeing awesome looking headlights on cars these days.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't do without Covestro.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's so great. And on top of that, you're making cars lighter and more fuel efficient. So they're
and
good
safer.
Looking and they're light.
Lighter and safer and fuel efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Do
yeah.
all those words align?
Yes, that is exactly how it aligns at Covestro, and then also that's the way the automotive industry is going. I know our polycarbonate plastic, which is highly engineered plastic that you can make multiple shapes out of. It's not the basic,
right.
You know, metal stamped material as we had mm-hmm. in the past. So I know, again, with those car enthusiasts that they love the roar of the engine and all of these different components that make a real car like what it is, we found a way to be able to still give you that same feeling when you see a car, same, it's really hard to explain the feeling of a car, but just doing it and making sure the material's lightweight to allow fuel-efficient vehicles for a sustainable future.
So what's the one thing that you would advise people in terms of their career and in terms of the opportunities? Because you're an electrical engineer in a chemical company.
Yeah.
Right?
I think it's all about staying open-minded and really to understand where you can add value. I know it's really hard to... Especially only getting out of school 3 years ago, it's hard to think like, oh God, how can I plan the rest of my
right.
life? And that's how a lot of people think, even though,
right.
as we kind of all know now, like you have a long time to figure out the rest
right.
of your life. But I think just staying open-minded and not being afraid to speak up and add your opinion. I know, especially in this space, I present all the time to audiences like at automotive trade shows
right.
or internally at Covestro. And my voice matters because, you know, my generation is going to be the ones that are really using these cars and designing them.
Right.
So I would encourage anybody not to be scared to speak up and share their opinions about
That's awesome.
The future.
So great. So we are what is your exact job title?
So I'm a market analyst for the future of mobility at Covestro.
And people learn more about Covestro, covestro.com?
Yes.
Because on the site, I was scrolling through it. So much fun
so
stuff to learn about.
So that was Paige Castellan of Covestro. And she's stirring up trouble, trying to change the world, looking to the future.
That's all about.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being part of it tonight.
Yes,
absolutely.
Thank you.
So Audrey, Grand Prix is on. Reminding everyone, go to pvgp.org. It's through the 15th. All the action has just started tonight. So many great things going on, and it all benefits autism, which is what's fantastic. It's been going on for, I think, over 30 years now. So this is a Pittsburgh tradition to have the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix in town. And Covestro is a tradition here in Pittsburgh as well, too, for crying out loud. I mean, you can't say awesome. Pittsburgh without thinking of Covestro and all the great work that you guys do. So thanks for stopping out and hanging out with us. We're taking a quick break. We're going to rev our engines, right?
And, absolutely.
Have some fun. Get a maybe a quick fuel stop or something like that along the way.
No stops.
Anyhow, this is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
We are from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. We love all things technology and all things automotive. Learn more about us at pghtech.org and have yourself a quick little break with us. We'll be right back after this one. Welcome back. You are listening to Tech Vibe Radio, and it is our Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix show. We are nerding out on all things automotive Grand Prix, because it is that time of year. It is July in Pittsburgh. I can smell the fumes already.
Oh, my god!
I love the smell.
Bad.
I love the
He's
smell of
so
gasoline.
So bad. We should just hurry up and introduce our guest before
Absolutely.
He gets inhalation problems.
Paul Vorbach from HV3D.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And you're no stranger to Tech Vibe Radio.
I am not. Yeah. I have. My golden-throated warble has graced the airwaves once
it's
before.
It's true. You're warble. And
you.
We're going to warble a little bit more and talk about you once again restoring cars for a living.
Well, I am now more on the techie side, involved with the 3D printing of parts for some of those restorations.
I know.
So
like,
that's the
what
cool
are
part.
You printing?
Well, if you've got an old car, and you name it, and we are certainly game to try.
Really? So give us some examples.
Recently, there were some hood latches, for example, for a 1921 Kissel.
1921?
I can get those on J.C. Whitney anytime.
Yeah,
easy to find.
Wait a second. So it's a latch for the hood.
It's a metal latch that goes on this hood. It's very prominent on the car, and apparently there was a restorer, not from around here, but from down in Florida, working on this car, and the original ones were lost in transit to the chrome shop, so they needed to get a set.
So the hood popped up.
So, well, the problem came in that they needed four of these, like, pretty quickly.
Pretty fast, right?
And so they sent me one of them that they had that they borrowed from a gentleman who had a car like this with the same latch on it. And I was able to reproduce it. And we had X1 out here in Irwin print the parts for us and made them, got them together, and sent them on down to this guy. And
that's crazy.
It is
How
crazy.
Big is that latch?
The latch is itself, it's actually multiple parts. The latch is probably about 3.5-4 inches tall, kind of a T-shaped thing, with a spring inside. And
And
you know, it basically there's a cleat that sits on the hood, and then this latch attaches to the fender on this older car. And you literally the spring you pull up on the handle and set the base of the handle onto the cleat, and
like,
there's four of them on here.
Can you imagine the design compared
well,
to today?
It's crazy.
That's crazy.
You know, but you do get to see some bizarre old parts that just come through, and you know, sometimes they need a part that's in plastic. Sometimes it's in metal. Most of the time, it's a metal part.
How long did it take you to?
We were pretty quick on that one. Actually, I was able to produce the design, get the design down within a couple of days total time. I mean, it was, you know,
And so how
hours.
Do people find you now?
Well, you know, on the internet, of course, we have you know, your basic website and things, as well as some advertising in some enthusiast magazines.
Mm-hmm.
I have a minimal budget, I'm afraid, at this point. You know,
right.
It's a fledgling business, so you know, anybody that wants to throw some cash, please see me after the show.
Yeah, give us your phone number. The phone number will be ringing.
Exactly.
I would love that.
It's a tight community because when people are restoring
cars,
it's got
to be a tight community.
They know when good work has been done, and someone says, "No, I got a part, and this guy printed it for me." I think word starts to spread pretty quickly because you're a car restorer at heart.
You had this problem of not
having the parts, and you're like, "How do I get these parts? I can print them."
Yes, exactly. But it's kind of expands beyond that now, because you do have people that are enthusiasts that have custom cars, customization, something
right,
they want to
right,
do
right.
for a unique look or something personalized, and the technology is there for them as well. And so, you know, it's just really a great application of a very cutting-edge kind of technical thing into this vintage world. And the vintage Grand Prix is right dead in the center of that whole
thing. So I assume you're going to be hanging out at the Grand Prix. I'd be putting cards on everybody's windshield wiper at the car show. Because
don't you have a lot of fans there?
Well, we have had some people that that do know who the heck we are, you know, when we come wandering in. And it's nice to see friends. You know, as over time,
yeah.
you know, there is, like you said, there is a community out there of enthusiasts, and you do see the same some of the same faces, and they're all just wonderful people too. By the way, and you know, should anybody go to the Grand Prix, you know, they can walk up to virtually anybody that's a car owner.
Someone will talk to you about their car.
Someone, yeah. you know, like I touch their car.
Well, you don't really want to do
and then
that.
I,
that's the protocol.
Know, my dog got close
yeah.
to a car.
Don't
you know.
Breathe on the car.
But then there's all these people who bring their dogs and their family and their picnics, and they're all out there.
It is unique to the Grand Prix. There are so many, you know, Pittsburgh is actually quite a car mecca. There is a lot of car stuff that goes
really,
on around
compared
here.
To Detroit?
Sure. I would say yes.
That's interesting. You know, I never thought about it that way.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know. Well, you know, everything from the self-driving things that
of
are
course.
Going on, which
yeah.
is huge, of
right.
course.
Putting
that's
Pittsburgh
huge.
On the map.
But if you go look around, I mean, recently they just had the AACA, which is the Antique Auto Club of America. They just, in Greensburg, they just had their national meet a couple of weeks ago.
Interesting.
You know, here in the
didn't
Greensburg
know
area.
That. Huh.
It was,
didn't
it's
know
huge.
That.
If you go on to carcruises.com and you will find a car cruise any night of the week with some very, very fine automobiles.
Now, speaking of fine automobiles, you guys restore some pretty fine automobiles. The first time I met you, there was, I think it was a 55 Mercedes
Gullwing,
yeah. SL Gullwing, and I think it was going to Amelia Island.
It
so
was.
You're doing parts and restorations for really high-end.
Yes.
I mean, Amelia Island's about as good as it gets. It's right there with Pebble Beach and so forth.
It is. It is. It's sort of the East Coast version of Pebble Beach, and it is... you know, again, if you're a car person and you get a chance to do the Amelia Island show, it's a great place to go. Amelia, what I like about Amelia, too, is it has a little bit of a slant towards competition cars in addition to, you know, a lot of the old regular restorations. And they always have some racing drivers from days of old and things like that there that you can, you know, come up and get their autograph. They're very, very,
absolutely.
Very nice people.
So we are now talking to Paul Vrobak. At HV3D. What's your website?
It is www.hv3dworks.com.
And so that's the best way to find
that's
you,
that's the
right?
best way to find me. And, you know, it doesn't have to be car parts. We certainly, you know, anything otherwise unique, it can be, you know, there's airplane parts, there's tractor parts, boat parts, or just something custom for around the house.
So you can
wow.
do almost, if it can be, made, you can print it.
Pretty much, you know. I mean, you know, there's been very little that we haven't been able to
is
do.
There, is there a size limitation at some point?
There are some okay. size limitations, but, you know, that... you know, so far, what the size limitation tends to end up doing is give you some limitations on the type of materials you can work on.
Ah, okay.
As opposed to necessarily
gotcha.
Can't do it at all. But
right.
But the guys at X1, their process will do a part upwards of 30 inches in length.
Ah,
and,
okay.
You know, so that's a pretty big part.
I'm waiting for the day when you can digitally print me an entire 1973 Porsche 911 RSR.
There you go.
And
yeah.
then, you know, I can have a $3 million car for maybe a couple hundred thousand.
Well, we have, curiously enough, we have done the fuel injection stack for a 73 RSR.
You have. See, I'm not too far
not
off
too
base
far
here.
Off base.
That's what I'm talking
about. We've
got
one part already done.
So. All right, so they've got about a million more to go. Give me a call, and I'll be happy to pick my car up. That's just so exciting.
So
I love the fact that you developed this because you're restoring cars, and you obviously you run these situations where you cannot get the part.
Oh, yeah.
But you need that part. I mean, if you don't have it, it's not a complete restoration. So you're like,
exactly.
wait a second, we can solve this problem.
It is, you know, it's definitely a boutique industry, a niche, but it's an interesting niche. You know, and it was driven by need, and then let's find a solution, and then this solution seemed to be out there, and as such, we're on the leading edge of this sort of thing, and therefore you do push the envelope a bit.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I won't say everything is a home run, but we sure
give it a try
and work with people on making it good.
So, what are you most excited about for this year's Grand Prix?
Oh, just the overall participation. I think that, you know, it's such a great and unique to Pittsburgh event. You know, the fact that it's a street course that through Schenley Park, it's the only street course where this sort of thing is done in the country. And that they involve pit race. It's 10 days of just homage to cars. It really is. And, you know, there's multiple ways in which people can be involved in it, and you don't have to spend a lot of money. You can, but you don't have to. And certainly going to like British Car Day and the car show and that, which is totally free to the public, to just go up there and see and talk to people and enjoy cars and people and the event. The event's a blast.
Sounds like a complete and total
plan
to me.
That's great. Anything that you wanted printed. Sounds like this guy can do.
HB3DWorks.com. Just as simple as that.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Appreciate it so much.
And if you need a car restoration, you can help people out with that as well, too.
As well.
Through your other sites, through your company there as well, too. I love it, Audrey. I'm fired up.
I know you are.
I'm encouraging everyone.
You're always fired up.
I am. I'm extra fired up. It's like I have high-octane fuel going through my veins right now.
Yeah, that's like how many cups of espresso today?
Exactly right. Only 3 or 4. Keeping a little bit. If you go to pvgp.org, there's a whole schedule of events there. It's super family friendly. All the proceeds go towards autism, which is just fantastic. And really, it's a great way to nerd out and hang out with other people who are really into cars. And you're in Pittsburgh at the best time of year in July. All the way around, can't get around it. So anyhow, I'll keep it at that. Anyhow, we're winding today's show up. Audrey, I think I'm going to put it into high gear and get home and burn some rubber.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm not going to burn rubber on
my
new car. Nope.
Yeah, your tires are new. You want to keep them that way.
Mm-hmm.
But you are getting snow tires for this.
I think our last guest convinced me about snow tires.
I think so. Anyhow, thanks again for tuning in, everybody. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We are from the Pittsburgh Technology Council since 1983, helping tech companies succeed. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Have an awesome weekend, everybody. And I'll see you at the Grand Prix.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.